We go, but he enables. He gives us the strength, the power, the ability. In fact, he does the work through us as we go. Today we are going to be talking about James. James the Less, one of Christ's disciples. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us in our study today. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for giving us the strength by the Spirit of Christ that dwells within us so that we can say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's none of us, all of you. Lord, as we look at this one who was a disciple of our Savior, James the Less, help us to see how Christ enabled him to serve you well. And help us to see the application to our own lives. We ask for your help in our study this day, and we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. To compensate means to counterbalance or to neutralize the effect of something. For example, if your car is out of line, the front end of your car is out of line, and it's pulling to one side, as you're driving down the highway, you have to pull on the steering wheel to keep it straight. Have you ever had that experience? I've had that indication. You better get it lined up or your tires are going to go. Compensate. There are many ways we need to compensate for things that are out of line in our lives. I have to compensate by wearing glasses. Many of us have to wear glasses to compensate for poor eyesight. Some of you are wearing hearing aids to compensate. Some of you might be so tall that you have to duck when you go through a doorway. That's a way in which you compensate. Or some of you might have the opposite difficulty, or a little short, and you have to stand on something to reach things. They say that the taller man always wins the presidential election. That may not necessarily be true throughout the history of the United States. Of course, Abraham Lincoln was the tallest president. He was 6'4". But did you know that President James Madison was only 5'4" tall? He was pretty short. And president of the United States. Short people can serve too. President Ulysses S. Grant, that name rings a bell, doesn't it? He was quite a general, successful man in many ways. He was only 5'8.5". That's not very tall. That's pretty short. Well, one of Jesus' disciples was a short man, and his name was James. Would you go to Mark chapter 15 and verse 40? Mark chapter 15 and verse 40. At the crucifixion of Christ, Mark records, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome. The mother of James the Less. Is this the same as the James that is listed in the list of disciples? Well, in John chapter 19 and verse 25, this same Mary in John chapter 19 and verse 25 at the crucifixion is referred to as Mary the wife of Cleophas. But in the list of disciples, if you recall, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 3 is the reference, if you want to look at it. This James is referred to as the son of Alphaeus. Now, if this Mary is the mother of James, and she's the wife of Cleophas, but James is the son of Alphaeus, how can it be the same person? Well, here's an interesting thing. Cleophas is a name of Greek origin, and it means to change or exchange. Alphaeus is a name of Hebrew origin, and it means to change or exchange. It means exactly the same thing as Cleophas. And you know there are lots of people in the Bible that have two names. Alphaeus and Cleophas apparently are the same person. One's his Hebrew name and one's his Greek name. Both mean exactly the same thing. There are some other things when you trace them, and it gets a little tedious, but convince us that this James, James the Less, is the very son of Alphaeus, James the son of Alphaeus, listed in the list of disciples. And this word less is the word micro. James was a micro man. You know, like microscopic or microorganism, something that's little. It's the same word that is used in reference to Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19 and verse 3. And you know that, isn't there a song that says Zacchaeus was a wee little man? Zacchaeus was a micro man. Luke chapter 19, verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Boy, the news media were all over the place even back in those days. And for anybody that's listening to the tape, that's just a joke. Because there was a big crowd there. There were a lot of people, and Zacchaeus was little of stature, and he couldn't see. He was in the back. And so, you remember what he did? He climbed up in a tree so that he could see Jesus. That word little is the same as the word less. Little, less, micro, micro. Zacchaeus was a micro man. James, the disciple of Jesus, was a micro man. Little. This lesson is not just about being short, although those of you who are short may find comfort in it. It's about anything in your life, whether a physical limitation or something else that causes you to say, I can't do this. Like Zacchaeus. He sought to see Jesus but could not. He couldn't see because he was too short. There are lots of things in our lives that seem to be shortcomings or fall short or limitations. And so what other people can do, we can't do. Maybe it's that we're short on talent or short on abilities, short on skills. James, the disciple, was short on height, which meant, like Zacchaeus, there were some limitations in his life, either in what he was able to do or, in some cases, maybe what people would allow him to do because of his height deficiency. But notice here in Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus' height, or lack thereof, did not seem to limit his ability to advance. Verse 2 in chapter 19, Zacchaeus became chief among the publicans. And he was rich. He was chief among the publicans. Remember, we talked when we studied Matthew, Levi, about the system of taxation, how there was this, in the city of Rome, there was this one person who was in charge of the whole system, and there was this graduating level of officers within the system down to the local people who did the collecting of taxes. Well, obviously, there would be someone needed in this area in Judea who would be in charge of the group of Jewish tax collectors, and this was Zacchaeus. He was of little stature, and yet he became chief among the publicans. The fact that he was short did not limit his advancement. We find the same thing in James the disciple's life. Of all the disciples that Jesus had, this one in particular is never mentioned in the Gospels as having said anything. There is no record of James the Less saying anything in the Gospels. His name is mentioned only in the lists, Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 3, and Luke chapter 6, of the lists of disciples. His mother is mentioned at the crucifixion. In fact, his mother is also mentioned as a witness of the empty tomb. We don't have anything about his participation as a disciple in the Gospels. He was quiet. But then we go to Acts chapter 15. And here in Acts chapter 15, there is a very important meeting taking place. Paul and Barnabas have been out preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Gentiles have been getting saved. And a lot of people who are Jewish, who have professed Christ, have made a huge issue out of this and insist that in order for Gentiles to be saved, they still have to go through the Old Testament system of proselytizing to Judaism before they can become a Christian. And so here is this big council taking place in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 15 and verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And there was quite a discussion. Verse 7, and when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up, and Peter addressed the matter. Verse 12, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered. Now this can't be James the brother of John, because back in Acts chapter 12, James the brother of John was killed by Herod. The only James left among the apostles is James the Less. The micro man, the little man, the short one, everyone else has spoken, and now James speaks, because it appears from the record of Scripture and the record of history that James the Less, though he didn't have anything to say in the Gospels, and has this limitation of a height deficiency, has become the chief apostle in the city and church of Jerusalem. James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. And he has this statement all the way down to verse 22. And after James speaks, it appears that the matter is resolved. Verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch, and Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, named Barnabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. So after James speaks, the matter is settled. James speaks with authority. You go over to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. And Paul makes reference to James as being one who has authority to send folks down to Antioch. And he is mentioned with Peter and John now as pillars. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. And when James, can't be James the brother of John, because at this point, that James has already been killed by Herod. This is James the last, now taking the place of James the brother of John in this threesome, Peter, James, and John. Now it's James, Cephas, or Peter, and John. And it's interesting to note that this order, James, Cephas, and John, is exactly the order in which the epistles are given at the end of the New Testament. James, and then 1st and 2nd Peter, and then 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. This is James the Less, who seem to be pillars. And Peter is down in Antioch. Verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James the Less, who is in charge there in the city of Jerusalem and the church. James sent a delegation. And then we go back to Acts chapter 21. And Paul has come to Jerusalem. Acts chapter 21, verse 17. In verse 15, Paul arrives in Jerusalem. After those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. This is the last time he's going to come to Jerusalem before he is carried off as a prisoner to Rome. Verse 16, and there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Nason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. In the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they had heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. James was dealing with the city of Jerusalem, where the temple was, where many Jewish people had become believers. They remained zealous for the law while they were professing Christ, and James had to deal with all of this. And when Paul came to Jerusalem, James was talking with Paul about how they were going to handle this situation delicately. With that, we go over to the book of James, James chapter 1 and verse 1. James chapter 1 and verse 1, and here he says, James, a servant of God. This is James the Less, who is used to write scripture. Here is a man who is short, of little stature. Doesn't have much to say. Doesn't have anything to say that's recorded in the Gospels. But he rises in spite of his short height to be the chief apostle in the city of Jerusalem, the church there. And now he is used of God to write scripture. Look down in verse 19. I make an issue out of the fact that he didn't have anything recorded in the Gospels and appears to be the silent disciple in that situation, because here he makes note of that issue himself. In verse 19, this James, who had very little to say in the Gospels when Jesus was walking on the earth, verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." Slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And he speaks about the importance of hearing. But not just of hearing, once having heard, then to do. Verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." And then he talks about issues that would be the bridging of the matters of spirituality in Christ and the dealing with the Jewish people who had received Christ and were zealous of the law. And he talks about some very practical matters, respecting of persons the unruly tongue over in James chapter 3. But James understood how God compensates for those things that are deficient in our lives. Go to James chapter 4 and verse 6. And he makes this little statement, "But he giveth more grace." Did you know that grace comes in different quantities? He giveth more grace. If there is a particular area of your life that is deficient, God will give you more grace in that part of your life to compensate for the deficiency you have. Now, he specifies, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. James apparently did not compensate for his short height by arrogance. That's a possibility in some who are short. You know, they try to make themselves tall by the way they act. Act smart, act proud. And with their arrogance, they try to puff themselves up. James didn't do that. He didn't try to compensate for his shortness in his own way and in himself. He understood that to the humble, God gives more grace. And God's grace is the thing that makes the difference in your life. Verse 10, he follows that up with this statement in James 4:10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." He'll lift you up. Wherever there's something that falls short in your life, if you will be humble before the Lord will lift you up. An interesting statement for a short man to make. He didn't need elevator shoes. He didn't need a podium to stand upon. He only needed the grace of God to compensate for what fell short in his life. And he says, the Lord will lift you up. It is James over in chapter 5 that refers to Elijah and his effectiveness. James chapter 5 and verse 16, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." And then he says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. He gives that as an illustration of the effectiveness of Elijah in communicating with God. But what was the basis upon which Elijah was effective? Was Elijah a tall man? It is true that in a number of presidential elections, especially in modern history, that the taller man has won the election. I looked up the height of the current candidates. I'll let you do that on your own. Why do people pick the taller man? What is it about the looming height of individuals that seems to lend more respect? I don't know. But you know, God doesn't look on the outward appearance. Remember when Samuel was going to anoint the next king of Israel, he was sent to the family of Jesse, and his first son comes out, and his first son has this imposing figure of a man. And God says, don't look on the outward appearance, because I see what's in the heart. And James says, you know, you don't have to be tall to be effective for the Lord. You can be a short man and you can still be effective, because it's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that is the key. So are you short? Take heart. Are you short on talent? Say, well, I couldn't play the piano. I couldn't play the organ. I couldn't sing. Are you short on abilities? I'm not crafty. I couldn't make a bulletin board. Can't even run a vacuum cleaner. I'm just short on abilities. I don't know how to do anything. Are you short on resources? If you're not rich, don't have much. There are lots of things in our lives that we could look to and say, this thing is limiting me, so I can't do things for God. But God says, I give you more grace in that area of deficiency in your life, and I compensate for what you think you can't do. I'm the one who does it through you. And in spite of your limitations, God will use you in a great way. Not because you're tall, not because you're talented, not because you're skilled, not because you're highly educated, not because you're a genius with a high IQ. None of those things matter as far as God is concerned. Whatever limits you doesn't limit God. And if James the Less, who was the shortest of all the disciples, could become the chief apostle in the city of Jerusalem, he can use you to do whatever he wants to, no matter how unable you think you are. James the Less lived to be 94 years old. Finally, the Jews stoned him and beat him to death with a fuller's club. This little man, with little to say, became a useful tool to God and a great testimony to faith in Christ to the death. God used him, even though he was short. What can God use you to do, even though you have some shortcoming in your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace that you give in abundance to compensate for the weaknesses, the limitations in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see beyond ourselves, that we would not look at our own shortcomings as problems to service, but that we would look at your grace and see that you give more grace. And with your grace, we can serve you effectively. May it be so, O Lord, that we grasp this truth and see you use us in a mighty way. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.